Hello, this is Paula Kaufman with the Herald and Review for Thursday, the 5th of July, 2018. We'll start with an article on the front page headlined Independence Day 2018, Rockin' the Fourth. Song and fireworks rain down on Decatur's lakefront across area by Tom Lissy. Decatur. Jaylee Doolin may have had the best ticket in town for this year's 4th of July. Perched on the Nelson Park Hill that overlooks Lake Decatur, Doolin, 11, was catching her friend's musical performance before she headed out by boat to go tubing, water skiing, and watch the fireworks show right on the water. "It's cool," Doolin said. "When you look up, it's like they're coming down at you." Along with Doolin, crowds of residents continued a tradition that brings the lake, fireworks, and family all together, the 4th of July in Decatur. After the morning's Staley Firecracker Run Walk, Nelson Park's evening activities kicked off with performances from the Best of Summer Stock, BOSS, the Park District's youth theater program. The junior group performed songs from the musical A Year with Frog and Toad, while the Elder Boss team sang tunes from High School Musical. Before the fireworks came Central Illinois-based hip-hop pop band Fun DMC. It's likely the final year the Park District's Shake on the Lake event will take place in the lakefront parking lot that abuts the Beach House restaurant. Next year, residents will be able to catch the full program at a brand new Nelson Park Amphitheater. Park District officials expect the $5.1 million project to be completed by the end of the year and will start programming there next spring. The district's board recently approved $365,000 in additional work that officials say will help improve the aesthetics and functionality of the $5.1 million venue. The additions include a rear stage wall that opens and closes, synthetic turf and perimeter security fencing. But for some residents, with their camping chairs on the hill, the location provided some nostalgia. "I love this area, because when I was growing up, this hill is where we always came and stayed all day," said Sue Clark, who had two granddaughters in the BOSS program. "For 4th of July, we'd come for lunch and then stake out our place for the fireworks." Jim Beams, a Decatur landlord, and a dozen or so family and friends barbecued around a picnic table right up against the lake shore, as they do every year, he said. "We're here every year. We cook hamburgers, we invite our friends and family," Beam said. "It's our tradition. I have a boat on the dock right there, so we get on the boat, watch the fireworks." Beam's longtime friend, J.D. Klunick, said he's joined the Beam's 4th of July barbecue for the last 5 years. "It's one of the few holidays I really celebrate, besides Christmas," he said. "4th of July is more for friends." At sundown, the Elgin-based Mad Bomber Fireworks Productions unleashed a 25-minute program of fireworks, one of the biggest displays in the area. "They're exciting," said Judy Ennis, a bus driver of Argenta, of the fireworks. "I just like the colors. I'm still a kid at heart." Herald and Review 100. Mawiqua's Shannon Babb is a natural-born auto racer. With his dad Greg's support, he's become a dirt car legend. By Justin Kahn. Macon. Shannon Babb didn't grow up wanting to be a race car driver. He spent most of his childhood in a garage. His dad, Greg, raced. Greg had followed in the footsteps of his uncle Rob, as had many other Babb men. But Shannon didn't see himself doing the same. "I was in the garage helping my dad from the time I was able to walk," Shannon said. "We were always working on something, but I told everyone that I didn't want to do that. I was going to find something else." But that's not what happened. Babb, 45, of Mawiqua, makes his living as a late-model race car driver and is known nationally as one of the top dirt track racers. Babb, known as the Mawiqua Missile, is currently leading the Dirt Car Summer Nationals Late Model Series and is going for his fifth series title. He already owns the most wins in series history. Babb will try to continue that success on Thursday at the 38th Herald and Review 100, which he'll be trying to win for a record sixth time. Greg Babb raced in the very first H&R 100 in 1981 and had a third-place finish in 1990. 3 years later, Shannon raced in his first H&R 100. But Greg said while Shannon was always working on race cars with him during his teenage years, he'd heard Shannon say he didn't want to continue the tradition, and he figured he wouldn't. He never said anything about changing his mind, and I never expected him to, Greg said. I never pushed him into it. Shannon had grown up driving four-wheelers and motorcycles and knew he was a good driver by the time he got his license at 16. I felt confident I could beat half the people out there, Babs said. At that time, Greg was still racing, but had also built a modified car that Larry Rogers was driving. Larry wanted to get back into racing, so he was driving the car I'd built. But for one reason or another, he didn't do well in it, Greg said. Greg said one night, after a disappointing finish, he, Shannon, and his wife Connie were driving home from a race, and Greg expressed that a change was going to have to be made. I said I needed to put someone in it who could make it go, Greg said. I remember Shannon was leaning up over the back seat, and Connie said, Shannon, do you think you could drive it? He said, sure, Mom, I can do it. That shocked me. A week later, Shannon was driving the car. Right off the bat, he was real good, Greg said. I don't like to brag on him, but he was a natural. You could tell from the beginning he was going to be good. The two raced together on several occasions, though Greg said he was never comfortable with it. It always made me nervous, he said. Greg had a welding business at that time, but a couple years later went back to over-the-road truck driving, which he still does. That left the late model car Greg owned sitting in the garage, and Shannon started taking it to the track and winning. The family kind of voted that he was going to race it, and I was not going to do it anymore, Greg said. Shannon said his dad's sacrifice still means a lot to him. He loved to race, Shannon said. He gave up a lot to keep me going. Shannon quickly progressed from the local scene to the national, racing with the World of Outlaws series and other racing series all over the country. Greg traveled with Shannon during his younger days and would often catch him in different places while on the road for his job. But at some point that stopped. At this point, Greg doesn't see more than 3 of Shannon's races per year. He stays on top of it with social media and the internet, Shannon said, and we talk about it quite a bit. But him and Mom have a laid-back lifestyle. They let me sweat it out in the dirt and the heat. Greg said it's best for both him and Shannon that he follows his son's career from afar. He's a grown-up, but he's still my boy. It still makes me nervous to watch him out there, Greg said. And there's less pressure on him if I'm not there. He won't tell me not to come, but it's one less thing he has to worry about. Greg said on Wednesday he's not sure if he'll be at Thursday's H&R 100 or not, but don't mistake his lack of attendance for apathy. After a race, we're the first people he gets a hold of after his wife, Greg said. He's happy doing what he's doing, and I'm proud of him, not just for being a great driver, but for being the young man that he is. He's had opportunities to rise up into the NASCAR ranks, but that's not what he wanted. He wanted more out of life than just racing. He's got a great family, with a wife and 2 little girls. He wouldn't give that up for NASCAR, and I think that's great. Brewery on tap for Assumption. 1905 Brewing Company kicks off with grand opening Saturday. By Danette Beckett. Assumption. Central Illinois has gained another addition to its burgeoning craft beer scene with Assumption's 1905 Brewing Company. The brewery will have its grand opening with a kickoff party at 5 p.m. Saturday, July 7th, at 301 South Chestnut Street. The event will begin with a ribbon-cutting ceremony by State Senator Andy Menar, Democrat of Bunker Hill, and city officials. The evening will be filled with food, music, and, of course, beer. The beverages, which consist of ciders, wines, and homebrews, may be the draw, but the atmosphere is also important to the business. 1905 Brewing Company is in a historical building that previously housed the area's weekly newspaper, the Golden Prairie News. A year ago, the newspaper moved to another location in town. The brewery owners were researching buildings in the town to open their new business. We found a lot of buildings were in bad shape, said co-owner Phil Corzine. We saw this building. It is still in bad shape, but structurally sound. Corzine and his wife Carolyn, along with four other couples, had a tremendous amount of work to do in order to get the business up and running. Before the owners decided on their business, they enlisted the help of the Western Illinois University Mapping Program, a community outreach program. For nearly 10 weeks, members of the program met with about 50 Assumption residents, and they brainstormed on how to rejuvenate the area. "We talked about what are the strengths and weaknesses," Corzine said. They suggested the community members break the idea of what people think about small towns. They said we could make it whatever we wanted the town to be. The brewery owners did not receive government help to bring the business to life, but instead did much of the work themselves. They did hire contractors for plumbing, roof, and concrete work. "We did it a lot cheaper and tried to do it in a way that's sustainable," Corzine said. They focused on preserving the history of the building by using items repurposed from other buildings in Assumption, such as the door from an old hardware store. "We tried to tie into the town's past," Corzine said. The beers have names in memory of the past as well, such as Comet Blue Corn Ale, after the Assumption School's former mascot, and Colors, that ended in 1992 when the school consolidated with Moequa. However, they still pay homage to today's Central A&M fans with the Raider Red, an Irish ale. The owners tried to keep in style as a modern taproom with a casual appeal as a meeting place for the community. They are also appealing to the rest of Central Illinois. Throughout the summer, the brewery has food trucks scheduled during the weekends, as well as acoustic musical groups. "Plus," Corzine said, "visitors can bring their own food, since the brewery doesn't have a kitchen." Destinations Photo Contest. Did you travel for July 4th? Here's your chance to win $1,000 in our photo contest. Time is running out to win up to $1,000 in our Destinations Photo Contest. Here's how it works. Visit herald-review.com/travel before July 16th. Readers can vote for favorite photos, and photographers who submit entries will be eligible for one of three top prizes: $1,000 for first place, $500 for second, $250 for third. In addition, anyone who submits an entry to the contest will be eligible for one of three $100 prizes awarded randomly. Many of the best photographs will be included in a special 20-page Destinations Travel section that will be published August 22nd and distributed in Lee Enterprises newspapers throughout the U.S. Upload your favorite vacation photo now and let your friends know that the contest voting period is July 17th to 23rd. Thanks for reading. Briefs. Associated Press. Ex-fire captain sentenced for rape. Urbana. A former Central Illinois fire captain has been sentenced to 36 years in prison for drugging and raping a probationary employee during a party at his home last year. The News Gazette reports former Savoy fire captain David D.J. Dunn apologized to his victim and the community during his sentencing hearing Tuesday. Dunn's 22-year-old victim said that after the assault, he thought about how satisfying it would have been to kill Dunn, but he decided to be the kind of person who does the right thing. He told Dunn Tuesday that, "If I wasn't your first victim, I will be your last." The 44-year-old was convicted in May of aggravated criminal sexual assault, and aggravated criminal sexual abuse. Illinois River clear of toxic algae. Peoria. The Illinois River no longer shows evidence of toxic algae, the Illinois Department of Public Health determined last week. Officials collected new samples of water from the river, including near Hennepin and Marseilles, where the algal toxin microcystin was previously above the health advisory limit of 4 parts per billion. It is likely that heavy rains received in northern Illinois contributed to the improved conditions in the river, the department said in a release Monday. Previous samples taken near Peoria showed the toxins were below the detection limit. The algal toxin microcystin can be produced by blue-green algae and cause sickness and other adverse health effects in people and animals, according to the news release. Man sentenced for selling drugs, Wheaton. A suburban Chicago man has been sentenced to 18 years in prison for selling the heroin that led to a 26-year-old's fatal overdose. 34-year-old Kevin Liska of Melrose Park was convicted in March on one count of drug-induced homicide for the 2015 death of Naperville resident Marcus Penton. Prosecutors say Penton overdosed from heroin he received from a friend, who bought it from Liska. The friend, Skylar Sabala, pleaded guilty in 2016 to one count of manufacture or delivery of a controlled substance, and was sentenced to 7 years in prison. DuPage County State's Attorney Robert Berlin said Tuesday the case is yet another very sad reminder of the opioid epidemic facing the country and the Chicago area. He says, as of Tuesday, DuPage County has seen 31 overdose deaths. Permit for gay nightclub rejected. Quincy. A city council in western Illinois has turned down a permit for a gay nightclub, rejecting the recommendation of the Planning Commission. The Quincy City Council vote was 8-5 Monday. WGEM reported that the special permit would have allowed the business to be open until 3 a.m. Aldermen who oppose the permit say they're concerned about parking and noise. Another gay club, Irene's Nightclub, operated at the site for 36 years before it closed in 2016. Chris Taylor said he picked the site because of the history. He says he doesn't understand the council's decision. Area business owner Rusty Williams says he supports the new club. He said he's disappointed with what he considers to be the close-mindedness of elected officials. Judge Tom DeFantis called it a reprehensible and horrible offense. Our view. Supreme Court ruling benefits all taxpayers. A close vote from the U.S. Supreme Court is a win for taxpayers, although a bit of a loss for conscienceless online shoppers. The court voted 5-4 to overrule two decisions that date well before the internet was created, making it hard for states to collect sales tax on certain online purchases. The Associated Press, in announcing the ruling, said more than 40 states had asked the high court for action. At issue was how consumers are taxed for purchases made through an online seller. At the moment, if you buy something from a seller that has a brick-and-mortar presence, you buy, for instance, from Target.com, and Target has a store in Decatur, then you pay state sales tax on your online purchase. But in some states, if you buy eye contacts from 1-800-CONTACTS or a side table from Wayfair, which have no local stores, the tax is not included in your online purchase price. Illinois requires Amazon and other e-commerce merchants to collect and remit the state's 6.25% sales tax under the state e-fairness law that went into effect in 2015. States generally require consumers who weren't charged sales tax on a purchase to pay it themselves, using the honor system when the tax man comes calling each April. But the Illinois Department of Revenue estimates that uncollected sales tax from e-commerce transactions cost the state $212 million in 2013. The National Council of State Legislatures estimated that states lost an estimated $23.3 billion in 2012 as a result of being unable to collect sales tax on online and catalog purchases. Where you buy goods and whether you're assessed sales tax matters. Taxes collected statewide and locally are spent on a variety of items, like school upgrades and road work. If they're not collected, government bodies have less money to spend on basic necessities. U.S. Senator Dick Durbin, a Springfield Democrat, praised the ruling and said state and local leaders should focus the more than $380 million in projected new revenues that could be collected in Illinois on creating jobs in our state and reducing the current tax burden on working families. We agree. The ruling opens a solid revenue stream for Illinois and its communities that can be used to support current local businesses and entice new ones to join Illinois' business ranks. Using the money for economic development makes sense, not only for businesses and government, but for the people of Illinois, whose communities need updated infrastructure and more jobs. Herald and Review 100, a big race pioneer. Special events with bigger purses now a tradition, by Mark Tupper. As late model stock car drivers stomp on the gas, driving hard towards Thursday's 38th running of the Herald and Review 100, it's worth remembering when there was no big race on the midsummer horizon. Once upon a time, the annual racing schedule was simply a series of Saturday night skirmishes, no one race much different from the others. Some might turn into memorable races, to be sure, because drivers had colorful and often gritty personalities, they knew how to put on a show, and a sharp promoter like Macon Speedway's Wayne Webb knew how to spice things up when needed. When Iliopolis driver Jim Licka would rattle off four victories in a row, Webb would post a bounty on Licka, the legendary bad boy. Wayne would fatten the weekly pot by tossing an extra $100 into the kitty, and the competition would bust axles trying to run down Licka. Once in a while, an overzealous competitor would resort to dirty tricks, maybe tapping his bumper in order to spin him out. The Licka contingent, a fiercely loyal and passionate group to be sure, would howl in protest. Others would say Licka had been done in by a tactic he had used in the past. All the while, Wayne Webb would be standing in the shadows of the track's lights, smirking. He'd turned a routine Saturday night into a race people would debate for weeks. And when race fans are talking about the action, those fans will be standing in line to buy tickets for the next Saturday night. I don't pretend that when the Herald and Review 100 debuted in 1981, that it was the first big race to ever appear on the schedule. But as the years have gone by, it seems like that race, with a juiced-up purse geared toward bringing in more drivers from beyond the normal reach of the Central Illinois track, sparked a trend of creating, scheduling, and promoting more big races as a regular part of the annual stock car racing schedule. Before long, a whole series of these races popped up, and drivers could spend a full month each summer bouncing from track to track to track, chasing those supersized purses and thrilling race fans along the way. Today, the Dirt Car Summer Nationals Hell's Tour Series, which began under a different name in 1986, blazes on, giving drivers and fans a month-long format of big races that will include the $5,000 to win Herald and Review 100 Thursday. Those familiar with the 2018 Macon Speedway schedule know the racing calendar creatively weaves big races into the fabric of the summer, bringing the Lucas late models in April, the new Up on the Wheel 100 for modifieds in May, the 95Q Firecracker 40s in June, the Herald and Review 100 and Kirby Strong 100 in July, and the John Osmond Memorial for Street Stocks in September. The bottom line is that these bigger races with increased purses have become the norm. In the late model division, it has helped us get to know some of the top national drivers, like Billy Moyer, Scott Blomquist, Rick Auckland, and, proudly, a pair of big-time winners from Central and East Central Illinois, Mohiqua's Shannon Babb and Oakwood's Bobby Pierce. Babb won on this summer's Summer Nationals Tour on June 24th in Hauptstadt, Indiana, and June 25th in Canton. The roar you will hear on Thursday will reach a fever pitch when Babb, the home track hero, rolls into position. It would still be possible for current promoter Bob Sargent to create extra tension by putting a bounty on the current hot driver. But with big races popping up routinely throughout the summer, fabricating the excitement is no longer necessary. It's already become part of the stock car racing landscape. Mark Tupper is the retired executive sports editor of the Herald and Review. He can be reached at marktupper@barbeckbb.com. Mennonite Choir coming to Decatur. Group performs Saturday night at Central Christian Church by Donette Beckett, Decatur. The Oasis Chorale, a group of about 40 Mennonite singers from across North America is bringing its a cappella tour to Central Christian Church for a free concert Saturday. "It's a classical chorale with far ranges," said Jason Martin, Oasis Chorale General Manager. "The music is a Renaissance style and brand new and everything in between." Their traditional a cappella music incorporates four-part harmonies into conservative church music. During their few opportunities to rehearse, they work on technique. All of the experienced singers have, at the very least, taken voice lessons. "We are an amateur group, but some have degrees in music," Martin said. The choir, formed in 2003 as a group of college-age singers. Members have come and gone throughout the years, but they still keep the sound fresh. "We started out as a young choir," Jason Martin said. "Our average age is near 30, so we are still young." Oasis Chorale has toured the country as well as Canada and the British Isles. In their time together, they have recorded 10 albums. Since members come from other parts of the country, they bring various cultures to the choir. "We are different shades of Mennonites," Jason Martin said. Their faith influences the music quite a bit, something Don Martin finds appealing. As the Central Christian Church Minister of Music and Visitation, Don Martin, who is not related to Jason Martin, was happy to have the choir on the church stage. "This is a very accomplished group of singers," he said, "and I'm excited about the pieces they will bring." If you go, what? Oasis Chorale. When? 7 p.m. Saturday, July 7th. Where? Central Christian Church, 650 West Williams Street, Decatur. Cost, free. On the web, oasischorale.com. Briefs, Muni Band. Contemporary Scores is the theme of the Decatur Municipal Band's performance in Decatur Central Park on Monday, July 9th. Chris Riley is the featured vocalist, and trombone player Joe Tiemann is the featured soloist. The performance is at 7 p.m. There is no admission charge. The group also performs a 60-minute program Sunday, July 8th, at the Fairview Park Pavilion. The performance begins at 6 p.m. At the Castle, Houndmouth performs Sunday, July 8th, at Bloomington's Castle Theater. Tickets for the 7:30 p.m. performance are $22.50, $25 the day of the show. Matthew Sweet plays the venue on Wednesday, July 11th. Tickets for the 7:30 p.m. performance are $22.50, $25 the day of the show. Tickets are available at www.thecastletheater.com. Mason City Comedy. Ryan Singer appears at Mason City Limits Comedy Club Friday, July 6th, and Saturday, July 7th. Tickets are $15 cash only at the club, reservations please, or prepay with a credit card online. VIP seating is an additional $2.50. Make reservations at www.mclimits.com. We'll take a short break now and return with the second half hour of the Herald and Review for Thursday, July 5th, 2018. Please stay tuned.